glorify the name of God. The title of this lesson that I've chosen this morning is, "And Man Said, Let Us Make God After Our Own Image." Someone says, that's not what the Scriptures say. No, it's not. And God said, let us make man after our own image. But I will tell you that there is the mindset, there is the action, there is the conduct of people, no matter how far-fetched it sounds, that are really making the statement, let us make God in our own image. We go back to the reading of Genesis, the third chapter that was given for us this morning. There had to be something better than what God supplied. And that was the presentation by Satan. That was the reception and the hearing of Eve. We come on down through the ages to the time of Abraham. And God had made promise to Abraham and Sarah that through their seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. But they said God needed help. We continue on down to ages after that, and King Saul, who had been given instruction by God through the prophet Samuel, heard the commands of God of what to do and comes back and reports with glee and with confidence, I have done all that has been commanded of the Lord. And he did not. God really didn't know best. And the same thing is true today. That people create a God in their minds of what they think God is, of what they think God expects, what they really think that they want God to expect. I want you to consider that thought with me. The God of man, the benevolent God. Give me all I want, no strings attached, God. Whatever I want you to give me. I want you to be there as a supplier to me. I want you to be there just to give to me from my standpoint of what I want. I want from you, but no strings attached in connection with that. You think back to the account that we have in Numbers, the 22nd chapter, verses 15 through 21 with Balak and Balaam. And God had given instruction here concerning what Balaam was to do. A second emissary had been sent by Balak trying to persuade Balaam to come and to curse Israel. God, in the first time that these emissaries came, told Balaam, you will not go with them. The second time they come, then God tells Balaam, he says, if the men, and this is in verse 20, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you that you shall do. And then in verse 21, so Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. They did not come calling on him. He didn't wait and follow the instructions that came from God. He took it upon himself because, God, there's something that is out there and you need to allow me to have that. It is going to be fame, it's going to be riches and so forth. And I will, in a sense, view it as coming from you. But I want you to be the benevolent God that gives me all that I want without strings. I'll take care of the scenes behind of the things behind the scenes. I'll take care of all that. But you just give me. You give me what I want. I want my God for protection, for my profit, for my enjoyment. But other than that, he needs to stay out of sight and out of mind. I don't want him to be a God that I have to answer to. I want him to be a God that serves me. And that's the attitude of people today. A projection that they put forth. Well, God is this way, God is that way, and he's this benevolent God that he's just waiting up there to do good for me, and if evil comes, well, then I'm going to blame him. If something comes in my life that I don't like, well, then it's going to be his fault because he's a benevolent God. He's big enough to take it. I'll just blame him. And this is the God that man has created in his own image today. At least one of them. But there's also the God that is an obedient God that has been created by man. God, come running when I need you. Otherwise, stay out of my business. And really, we see this in Israel during the time of the Judges. Judges, the 3rd chapter, verse 7 through 9, after the death of Joshua. It says, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served Baals and Ashereth. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised a deliverer for the children of Israel and delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And this scene plays out over and over and over again. And this deliverer would deliver them from the enemy at that time, and then they would again forget their God and do what they want to do because they became fat and happy, so to speak. And then they would fall into idolatry and temptations that were in the world, that were there looking around about them. Look how good all these other people are living, forgetting their God that had delivered them in the first place. And this cycle went on for 300 plus years. Just come running, though, when I call, God. You be an obedient God. You be like a little puppy dog waiting for me to call to you. I don't want you to get in my life. I know what is best for me. If I'm ever in trouble, I'll call. Otherwise, I don't want my God to meddle in my affairs. I don't want you in my life. I don't want, as the song said this morning, to glorify your name, Father, Jesus, Spirit. I don't want to do that. I want you to glorify me. That's what I want. And people are doing that day in and day out with that particular attitude. An obedient God. He'll just do what I say. He'll do what I say. But I don't want him in my affairs. I don't want him in my life. I don't want to be viewed differently as anyone else. I want this obedient God. And so I make that God for me. We also have this non-judgmental God that so many follow today. God, accept and like. Accept and like all that I do with no exceptions or expectations. Whatever I decide to do, I want you not only to accept it, but especially I want you to like it. I want your approval. I want you to be approving. I don't want you judgmental whatsoever in anything that I decide to do in this life. When you look over in Romans, the 1st chapter, verse 28 through 32. I don't know the exact time period that Paul is referring to that he presents with these people that he gave up and gave over to the desires of the flesh and of the mind, who once knew God but then turned away from him. I don't know the exact time period. I'm going to say that it is years before the writing that he's referring to here, that they had lived years before this. But it is seen, of course, in the years that followed after in every age of those that would turn from God. And he says that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Look at those uns. And that is in the world today. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. God, I want you to not just accept. That's not enough, God. I want you to like whatever it is that I do. I want you to urge me on in my sin. I want to feel as though you're on my side. You're the cheerleading God I've been looking for and not the judgmental God. I want you to be on my side of whatever decision it is that I make. I will determine my path in life. I will determine my lifestyle, when I want to be religious or not. But my God will not judge me or have any expectations of me. That's the gods that man makes after their own image today. And it has really been going on since the beginning of time. Even though they might call to the one true God, it is only in lip service. Because they have in the back of their mind those that are disobedient to Him, not who He truly is, but what they want Him to be. But there is the true God. And He is benevolent. There's no question about that when we look over in John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And He did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world they might be saved. He is a benevolent God. But He's not a weak-kneed God. He's not there just to be used by man. Man needs to serve Him. He is a benevolent God. He is a loving God, but He has expectations. He serves us, certainly so, and He served us in that giving of His Son. When we look over in Romans 5:6-8, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What greater servitude could God give to man than this aspect of servitude of giving His only Son, handing Him over, righteous, pure, without sin, for us that were sinners, separate apart from Him? What greater service could be performed? What greater servitude would one expect than what has been given by the true God? But He has the right to judge. He has the right to judge. As Paul was in Athens in Acts 17:24-31, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. He's not after the image that man has made. And standing around Paul at this time were all of these different devotions to gods, that is the little g gods, idol gods, including one that said to the unknown God. And Paul is making the presentation to the unknown God is the one that I'm talking about today. He is the one true and only God and does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. You see, the God that is made after man's own image today has to accept in the mind of man whatever it is that man wants to give back to God, if there's any worship whatsoever. It's by man's determination. But as we look right here, He's not worshipped with the men's hands, and the reason being is He determines how we worship Him. We don't get that choice. He is the God, the right God, the just God, the one that has the right to judgment. And He says, He is given to all life and breath and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And He has determined the pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. God is over man. It's not the other way around. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. And that is something that people forget today. This God that they create in their mind is not the one true God, but the one true God is ever there present, looking and watching and understanding and knowing, and even down to the thought and intent of the heart of what they are feeling and thinking and have devised in their minds. And then He says, truly these times of ignorance God has winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man of God He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. That last part there is the one that is so profound that we need to pay attention to. We can't just live in the moment, but we need to live in the moment. We can't live in the moment of our own pleasure, of our own desires, of our own God that we create in our mind, but we need to live in the moment of looking to God and not going beyond that. Certainly there's a view toward what God provides for us, but it is living in the moment to make sure that we're living in a way that, as the song said this morning, Father, we love you, we worship and adore you, glorify thy name in all the earth. And when we get out of that moment of glorifying God's name, the fact of the matter comes back to we glorify ourselves. We glorify ourselves. I think back to Isaiah, the fifth chapter. Isaiah, the fifth chapter, in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And that happens today as it did back then. That there are lies that are put for truth. And that's exactly what he says. And that darkness for light and light for darkness had put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. He's talking about contrast of that which is worldly, that which is not from the God that has the right to judge. And man calls today things that are evil and despised by God, good. And they call that which is demanded by God, which God has given instruction for us to do, and they say it's evil. And man has made their own truths from their own gods that they've created in their own minds and say it's light, but it's actually darkness. The true light comes from God, and His Son is that true light. We see that in John, the first chapter. And then it goes on to verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty in to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And what he's talking about there, to do their own thing and not glorify God. He's talking about intoxicants here, but he's using it as a metaphor for following their own way in their own thinking in connection with their own God that they've created in their mind. But God is going to judge all. And He's going to look at those that are humans, all of us, and make the determination to this very singular point. Did you glorify my name? Or did you create your own God to glorify yourself? Who will you look to, your God or the one and only God? I ask you this morning, first of all, if you're not a child of God, you can't create your God. There's only one. We see that in Ephesians 4 and verse 6. One God and Father of all is above all, through all, and in all. And He's not there to bow to your whim and to your will. He is a loving, benevolent God that has given His Son for you so that you can be His child. And if you've not become His child, this day you can. And worship and serve the God not of your mind and not of your will and not of your desire, but the one true and living God. And thou by faith with a penitent attitude that says, I will serve God and not self, nor God that I make in my mind. I will serve Him from this point forward with that attitude, naming the name of Christ Jesus and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You can come to the one true and living God and start living for Him. If at one time you became a Christian but have fallen away from the one true God, maybe created a God for yourself, a benevolent God, an obedient God, a non-judgmental God, you're not serving the one true God. He makes a call to you because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. He's making a call to you to come back. And we see that even in the parable of Jesus in connection with the sheep. 99 that are in a safe abode, in a safe place, and the one that has now strayed away. And the good shepherd leaves the 99 that are in good condition and safe and goes and seeks the one. The reason being is they're precious. Every soul is precious. But that call to repentance still stands for those that became children of God but have begun once again to serve the world and live in the world and create their own God, little g, in their mind. But I want you to remember this from Acts 8 chapter in connection with Simon the sorcerer. The statement that was made by Peter whenever Simon the sorcerer did not give glory to God but was looking to self, I want to buy the power of God. I want to purchase it. And Peter said to Simon at that time, he said, you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of deceit. You have neither part nor lot in this matter. Pray to God that perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And Simon said, I would that you would pray for me. But I want you to really focus on perhaps. Here in just a moment, we're going to sing a song. It's going to be an invitation. If there are those that need to respond, you can come down the aisle. And if you're not a child of God, you can request to be baptized. And if you have been a child of God, have turned back from Him, but now want to serve Him once again, remember that perhaps. That your repentance and confession of wrong just can't be point in time to where you can then go live as you want to live, but it is an attitude that looks to God and say, I'm not going to glory in sin. And I recognize that if I come back to Him, I can't go and glory in sin. I have to glory in His name. Let me ask you one more time. Who is the God that you serve? The one made in your own image? Or the one true God of heaven? There are those that we can help, and I'll tell you, we want to help. If you're not a child of God, we want to assist you to become a child of God. And if you have once been a child of God, but want to come back to Him, you are loved. You are loved. And we will pray with you and for you. If we can help in any way, we ask you to come. Please stand and sing.